Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we start the halachas of honoring one's parents. This is Siman Kuf Mem Gimel 143 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. At this point in time, we're taking off from the regular day or the weekday. So we've moved away from the weekday ritual and from Shabbos. Now we're moving into ideas which transcend the we'll call day to day. These are ideas which are actually not found in the section of Shulchan Aruch called Orach Chaim, which is the ritual part of life. This now we go into other aspects of halacha, in this example being Yoredeah, respect of one's parents, and the next time we're going to be dealing with the respecting the sages. So we know that the Torah is very, very makpid, that a person should be careful to honor and to fear their parents. The Torah tells us, "Kabed es avicha ve'esimecha," it's one of the Ten Commandments. We hear Psukim, which says, "Kabed es Hashem e'honcha," you should, the honoring one's parents is similar to honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah also tells us, "Ish imoy vaviv tiro," that a person should fear their parents. This also is an extraction from "Es Hashem lekecha tiro," fearing God. So it's a very, very serious responsibility, the Torah tells us. And the Kitzur points out that of the contributing partners in the creation of a human being, there's the Almighty, and then there's the father and the mother. And therefore, the father and mother are, by bringing a soul into this world and caring for that soul and bringing that soul up, there's an eternal responsibility of that child towards their parents. So we're going to look at this from the perspective of three concepts. Number one is fear and honor. Number two is honor under difficult circumstances. And number three, who is honored, which has a few miscellaneous applications as well there. Let's jump straight in, fear and honor. So what actions are included in Moira? It says, "Ish aviv imoy tiro," you're supposed to fear your parents, give honor. What is included in that? So what is included is not sitting in the designated place. This could be in the office, in shul, at the dining room table. A parent has a regular spot. A child may not sit in that without permission. One may not contradict their parents. So a parent says something I may not disagree in that respect. Now, they can have a discussion, but to contradict a parent. So parents in the conversation with somebody else, and one says, "That's not correct," that is not allowed. And similarly, one is not allowed also when listening into a argument or a dispute a parent is having with somebody else, one may not even say, "My parent is correct." Why is the agreeing a problem? So we're assuming that the child is listening into a debate the parent is having with somebody else. By saying father or mother is correct, what they're essentially saying is, "I'm evaluating the arguments and I've evaluated that their argument is correct." That is not appropriate, because a parent does not need the evaluation of their child. That's how far this goes. What is the extent of this reverence? So if one is a dignitary, like let's say a person is a communal leader, a person who is who's treated with royalty in the community, and their parent would come in and in a fit of rage hits them or tears their clothes or spits at them, one may not act or react angrily. One must remain silent to have fear of Hashem, but afterwards, one is allowed to go to Beis Din to be able to claim the losses, but one should not act disrespectfully at the time that this happens. That's the extent of how far this goes. That's in terms of Moira, in terms of fear. What actions are included in Kibud, Kaberes Avicha Vesemecha, which is honor? So these are positive actions, not withholdings. The other ones were all actions of fear. These are actions now of honor. So this includes going and providing them with drink, food, clothing, and shelter, escorting them to and from their home, and doing all this with a cheerful attitude as well. What happens if one does this, but one does it with a resentful attitude? One is doing this and it's very difficult, and one expresses that it's difficult. So in that case, a person could receive punishment from heaven, even if he serves them delicacies, but it's with ill grace, so that he makes them feel negative, he makes them feel that they are not deserving. There's punishment for such a person. May you wake a sleeping parent if the key to your store is hidden under their pillow and you'll lose profit. The answer is no, unless the parent will be distressed at the loss, in which case it's a mitzvah to wake them. May you wake a parent to go to shul do a mitzvah. The answer is yes. since it's a mitzvah, and since we assume that everybody would like to honor Hashem, so we can wake them up for that as well. If one is going to town to buy an item or a service which one needs oneself and for one's parent, how should it be asked? So one should say, do it for my father's sake in order to give an attribute honor to one's parent. What should one do if following one's mother's instructions would cause one's father to get angry with her? So in that case, one should not reveal that the mother told him, and even if it means the father will get angry at the person themselves. So meaning to say, one should not create acrimony between the parents when at all possible, or one should take the blame oneself. Is one required to stand in one's parents' presence? The answer is yes. How often? The responsibility is once in the morning and once in the evening when they walk into the room. Is there kibud avim after death? The answer is yes, there is. How much honor must one's parents receive after death? So within 12 months, one must say, if let's say a parent passes away, God forbid a person says, Harini kaparas mishkava, may I be an atonement for his or her soul. And after 12 months, when one mentions their name, one refers to them as, may his or her memory be a blessing for the world to come. Zichrona livracha l'chaya olam haba. That is the appropriate way to refer to a parent in those situations, after 12 months. We're going to move into the next topic, honor and under difficult circumstances. What is the punishment for disgracing one's parents? So a person who disgraces their father or their mother, even in words or gestures, is cursed by the Torah. The Torah says, Arur. A person is cursed for disgracing one's parents. What must one honor a wicked or sinful parent? The answer is yes, even if the person is wicked or a mamzer. Some disagree. But one may not cause them grief, and the preferred approach is to be stringent and honor a person, even if they are wicked. What if one's father or mother is violating a Torah law? How should one respond? So one is not allowed to say you transgress the Torah, but say Abba or Imma, isn't it written in the Torah such and such, so that they can realize the mistake without creating shame for them. If a parent commands a child to transgress the Torah, may a child listen? The answer is no. The Torah puts Kabbalah Salvecha Vesimecha right next to, adjacent to Zachar's Yom HaShavas HaKadosh, Shomer Yom HaShavas, to indicate that we're not allowed to transgress the Torah at the behest of our parents. In other words, God's law is going to supersede parents' law. Does this reply to rabbinic commandments as well? The answer is yes. Rabbinic laws that are also Hashem's commandments, are part of Loi Sosser. You're not allowed to deviate from what the sages say, and therefore one would not be allowed to listen to a parent to disagree with or to disavow even a rabbinic law. What if a father commands a child not to forgive someone or not to reconcile with another Jew? The answer is the child should not obey. Since one is not allowed to hate another Jew without cause, the father's command will cause the child to violate the Torah law. If the son wants to go learn Torah and the father disapproves, does he have to obey and not go? The answer is no. The Torah study is greater than the mitzvah of honoring one's parents, and one may go even against one's parents' will. How do we know this? We learned this that Yaakov Avinu was listening to his father Yitzhak to go to Padan Aram to go find a wife. However, he took off 14 years, as we know in the Medrash, to go to Yeshivas Shem Va'Aver, and that was not seen as a detraction because he was only punished for the 22 years he was away from his father, not including the 14 years that he was at Shem Va'Aver. If a son wants to get married and the father disapproves, or the daughter wants to get married and the mother disapproves, whatever it is, must they listen? The answer is no. Kibbutz Avim does not apply in such a situation because getting married is a mitzvah and the child has their obligation to do that mitzvah even if the parents are trying to leverage it and make it more difficult. The child must go forward. How may a child remove a splinter from a parent? So this is a very complicated thing. Not only is there a mitzvah Kibbutz Avim, there is a prohibition in the Torah with capital punishment for hitting a parent, drawing blood from a parent. So a child should not remove the splinter because it could cause a wound, which is a capital offense, as we see in Parshas Mishpatim. May a son who is a doctor perform surgery or bloodletting or blood test on a parent? The answer is no, and not unless there's no other available physician or there's no other available physician who has the same level of expertise. Then they may do it because they're saving and helping their parent, but otherwise one should be very, very careful when it comes to this as well. This includes dentistry. What should a child do if a parent is senile or mentally ill? So they should try to care for their parent according to their ability and mental state. But if it becomes unbearable to treat them, they can leave and arrange for somebody else to take the care because it's sometimes very difficult. We move to our third and last concept, and that is, who is obligated? Are women obligated in the mitzvah kedusha? I keep it up. Aim on the answer is yes, men and women are equally obligated. What about married women? So a married woman is also obligated to honor her parents. However, when it comes to certain aspects, always in place. When it comes to certain aspects of kavod, if the time requirements or the responsibilities in marriage take up so much time or supersede that of honoring one's parents, that honoring one's parents takes one step backwards in this respect. Is it permitted for a parent to be strict and demanding honor from their children? No, they should be as lenient not to cause a child to sin. So a parent shouldn't say, it's kibbutz of aim, you ought to honor me. No, that's not appropriate. A father who waives his honor, the honor is waived. So if a father, a mother may say, you do not need honor me in this situation, the children may listen or must listen. Is it permitted to hit a grown-up child? No. Even a younger son should not be hit because he may retaliate. Rather, a person should rebuke a children with words. How old is grown up? The Kitzur points out, it depends on the child. What is the punishment for hitting a grown up son? This could be excommunication because it is lifnei iver lo zitei mikshav. You're putting a child in a situation where they may come to do something terrible to a parent and putting them in a jeopardized situation because of this. Must one honor a stepmother or a stepfather? Answer is yes. Certainly during the lifetime of one's biological parent when they're married, and it's proper to honor them even after one's parent passes away. Rabbi Yuranasi, the sage who redacted the Mishnah, made his children promise that after his death they would look after his wife, who was not their mother as well, as we see this. Must one honor one's older siblings? And this is a very tough one for those younger siblings. The answer is yes. Older brothers are included in Kabbalah Sofiyah Chavei Simecha. What about in-laws? So if father-in-law, mother-in-law are included as well in Kavod, David HaMelech called his father-in-law, Shaul HaMelech, Avi, my father, and he treated him in such a way, even though his father-in-law tried to kill him many times. Must one honor a grandfather? Answer is yes, but if there is a triage of time, honoring one's parents takes precedence over honoring one's grandparents. But that does not mean if it's, you know, spending more time on a screen or looking after oneself. No. It means, say, if there's a triage between the two, then parents take precedence. Must a convert honor their non-Jewish parent, their biological parent? The answer is yes, they should. And they should. They should certainly not curse or humiliate them, because in such a case, it would seem that joining Judaism has diminished their holiness, to diminish their character. That is not correct. But one does not need to necessarily stand up for them. What brings the greatest honor to one's parents? Studying Torah and good deeds. So if a person lives a life of Torah and Ma'asim Tovim, then a person will say, Ashrei Yoladotoy, and they give praise to their parents. What happens if the son is wicked? God forbid, it's a terrible embarrassment and pain for parents. What responsibilities does a parent have to a child? The parent has the responsibility to go in the right way, to model the right way, because unfortunately sin can cause the children to sin as well. And if a person does do the right thing, the Kitzur points out that for its Kodesh Baruch Hu promises for 1,000 generations of goodness to be stored for such a person. With this, we conclude the halachas of Kibud Av Aim, and have a wonderful and meaningful day.